Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's Palm Sunday meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is our humble yet exalted King, dear fellow redeemed. The events of Palm Sunday are some of the strangest events ever witnessed. We see a lowly, humble rabbi with only a few followers come to the capital city of Jerusalem and enter riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That in itself is a very strange picture, a full-grown man riding on a little animal. But then we see much of the city come out and gather around him, tear down palm branches, lay them on the ground and wave them in the air, lay their coats on the ground, cry out praises and hosannas, welcoming him as their king. Have they all gone mad? Is this a comedy? Is this a spoof on royalty? No, this is reality. Far more real than the reality TV shows of our day. But a strange reality. He who did not look like a king, he who did not act like a king, he who rode into Jerusalem looking like no king, yet was welcomed and received as a king because he is the King of Kings. In the picture of this Palm Sunday text, we see both the humility as well as the exaltation of our Savior. And it's both of those truths that the Apostle Paul in our text this morning lays before us. Our text answers for us the question, what kind of king is this? And our first answer is, a king who humbled himself to save us. We read again verses 6 through 8. Of our sermon text. Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. Paul says he has the form of God. That word form literally means what is essential or what is an essence to a thing or a being. In other words, Jesus is of the same essence of God. Not only does Scripture teach us that, but Jesus' actions prove that. His miracles prove his deity, his Godhead. He healed the sick and the lame, gave sight to the blind, raised the dead, walked on water, changed water to wine, calmed the storm. He knew the thoughts and the hearts of people. He also prophesied of the future. He forgave sins, and he taught with the authority of God. Yet even though Jesus was true God, equal to his Father in essence and substance, he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. That term really has two different meanings to it, both booty and robbery. Booty speaks of the spoils a victorious king would display after he's won the victory. He would see, look at all I've conquered, look at all I've taken from my enemy. He would praise and glorify himself. Well, even though Jesus had the essence of God, with all the glory and honor and praise, he didn't show it off. He didn't found a kingdom on this earth and revel in his glory. So it wasn't a booty to him. All the miracles he performed were for the benefits of others and always to the praise and glory of his Father. In fact, Jesus consistently referred to himself as the Son of Man. But neither is that glory of God something that Jesus stole or robbed from the Lord. That's been his glory since the beginning of time. In fact, in eternity, he is equal to the Father. So this term denotes Jesus is not misappropriating the glory of God. He has it since eternity, nor showing off this glory of God as a booty, saying, look at me, look how glorious, look how powerful, look how famous I am. In fact, on the contrary, the Apostle Paul says, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Those words literally mean he emptied himself. He emptied himself not of his Godhead, because he was always true God. He emptied himself of the full use of his Godhead, the full use of his deity. He set it aside, and instead he looked like any other simple human being on this earth, subject to all the trials, tribulations, temptations, troubles of humanity, except occasional glimpses of his glory through his miracles and his transfiguration. He looked like any other human being. In fact, looking at Jesus, you would never, ever think that he was God. You'd think he was just a servant, a humble servant. And that's what he was. A servant to humanity. He was that suffering servant of Isaiah 53 who came to give, to serve, and ultimately to be sacrificed. His lowliness, his humility is an offense to some and a disappointment to others who are looking for a marvelous, powerful, earthly king to rule in Jerusalem. But Paul continues our text. Not only was Jesus true God, equal to the Father, but he also was true man, clothed in the very flesh and blood of a human being. But the depth of Jesus' humiliation wasn't just that he became a human being, a human male. The depth of his humiliation was he allowed himself to suffer and to be crucified. One of the worst deaths of the worst criminals in the world. A death that was even cursed by God. He not only laid aside his glory as God and took upon human flesh and blood, he allowed other human beings to despise him, to reject him, to ridicule him. And he allowed his Heavenly Father to disgrace him, to reject him, and to condemn him and lay upon him the sins of every single person ever conceived in the history of the world. Why? Because what he did took our punishment upon himself, so that we might be free and we might have life. So we'd never have to endure eternal damnation. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and breathed his last on the cross, his work was completely done. With his burial, his humiliation came to an end, and now would be his exaltation. Now begins his being glorified. This humble, lowly king riding on a donkey, this humble crucified king of Good Friday, has now become the resurrected and glorified King of Easter, the ascended King who now rules over all things. Paul writes in verses 9 to 11, the second half of our text, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus is now the King who kind of takes off his beggarly clothes of humility and humbleness and lowliness, and he puts on the white robe of righteousness and power and might. No longer does he hide his kingly power and glory under his humanity. Now he's exalted God, occupying the highest throne. In fact, his name, Jesus, Christ, Messiah, Savior, the chosen one, the anointed one, is above every other name. No other name can match that name. Peter says, read about Peter in Acts 4:12, he writes, "Nowhere is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Only by faith in this name, in his merits, in his actions, can we sinners be saved. The name that was spoken against, that was ridiculed, derided, that was slandered in his humiliation, now is most glorious. A name that is honored and glorified in heaven and on earth and even in hell. In heaven, all the angels honor and praise the name of Jesus, Savior and Lord of all humanity. On earth, we believers honor and praise and stand in awe of the name of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And even the damned in hell and the demons must acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of all, to their disgrace and their shame. Now for the believing child of God, our praising of Jesus is pretty weak. It's pretty faint, pretty muffled because of our sins. But on Judgment Day and throughout all eternity, we will shout praises of honor and glory to our Savior and our King, who declared from the cross and then again on Easter Sunday morning, "Mission accomplished, salvation complete." So what kind of king is this? Well, second answer is this. A king who is now exalted for us to praise, but also to imitate. Let's go back to the first verse of our text, verse 5. Paul is not only teaching us some deep theological teachings about humiliation and exaltation, showing us that Jesus is both God and man in one person, and his great love for us, willing to even be damned for us, he's also encouraging us to imitate Jesus. We read verses just before verse 5. They're not in your bulletin. These verses are verses 1 through 4 of Philippians 2. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And then verse 5, the first verse of our text, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." This mind was also in Christ Jesus. Paul is speaking of an attitude change that is to take place and will take place in us when the Spirit creates faith in our hearts to believe in Jesus. Our natural attitude is self first and self foremost. What's in it for me? How can I be served? Think of myself first rather than others, or think of myself even better than others. But Paul says, let this mind be in you. Well, literally, let this be the constant and continuing pattern to your life. Imitating Christ's humbleness. Imitating Christ's lowly-mindedness. Imitating Christ's self-sacrificing love for others that he gave to us. When we're touched by the Holy Spirit concerning Jesus Christ, and we hear about his unselfishness towards us, how can we not listen and follow this admonition? Can we live selfishly when we see how unselfish our Lord and Savior was to us? Would we rather willingly serve in joy and happiness others to others as we see Jesus living in service to us? Would we not be moved to give small sacrifices to our Lord and to others out of motivation for the great ultimate sacrifice that Jesus gave to us? Paul says, he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. We all know that our salvation is summed up in three words. He for us. But now, as believers in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, we want to sum it up in three words. We for him. Again, Jesus says to each of us, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Christians do not earn a share of Jesus' glory by their lowliness or by their suffering for Jesus. That's given to us freely by God's grace in Christ Jesus. But Christ has promised to us that even as he suffered for us and died for us to pay for our sins, so we who suffer for him, we who sacrifice ourselves for him, will receive that eternal glory that he has already earned for us. The Christian's life, like Jesus' life, will follow the same kind of path. From lowliness to glory, from cross to crown, from humiliation to exaltation. May we follow in our Savior's footsteps, living for Jesus, by living like Jesus, through living in Jesus, with humble joy, seeking to praise our Savior and give thanks to him for the salvation he earned for us. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our glorious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.